Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show.
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing it. We are doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Homeland Season 2, the premiere episode. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by the incomparable Jenna Bush.
Hello.
And the inestimable Roth Cornett.
Hello.
And the inimitable Thaddeus Massey.
Hi, guys.
Those are some amazing introductions.
Well, thank you. Aptly used for this panel here. So lots to talk about. First of all, highly anticipated. Yes. You know, we can talk about the well-deserved Emmys that they won, but we want to get right into the show here. It's 6 months later from last season. Brody's now a congressman.
Right.
Carrie's recuperating, as expected, exactly. Yeah. But what's not as expected, he's now looking to run for vice president. So interesting.
Were you shocked by that?
I wasn't really shocked because, you know, Walden had some sort of, take on it. But,
that's fast, though. That's really fast.
That's what was shocking. Mm-hmm. No, I thought they would hold that a little bit.
Yeah, but I think that if you're thinking about the amount of political capital that Brody is bringing with him and to this guy's potential, because like Brody said himself, I don't even know if he's really going to have me be this candidate.
Yeah.
I think he's using my name to take a hard line on Iran.
Yeah, and
to support that.
And Walden's looking to capitalize on that capital.
Right, exactly. So Walden may or may not ultimately name him as his running mate, but for the moment, his name brings with it.
Yeah, and we know Walden is very, let's just say he's a little ambitious.
A little bit.
Exactly.
He's not the only one either.
No,
there's a lot of ambition.
Estes, for sure.
Jess.
Yeah.
Well, that's saying. True. But, we'll get to that later.
She certainly wants to climb the ladder there.
Uh-huh. But Estes, too. He's very ambitious.
Yeah, Estes is very ambitious.
Yeah.
And speaking of Carrie, now we see her 6 months later. She's been, I guess she's on the mend from being fried. Can we say it that way?
Yes.
So, but she's getting vegetables out of her garden.
Yeah,
making dinner.
I thought that was the greatest way to open. Right.
I have to make lasagna.
Yeah. It's Vegetable Thursday.
Right.
It wasn't that bad, but have you guys read I know you have read the short story Flowers for Algernon? Now, it's not this bad at all, but I felt like her dad was concerned that she had lost her mental mojo a little bit, and then I was kind of concerned until we saw the smile that she had lost it a little bit. That spark.
Right.
Well, she had her head sparked.
Yeah. Well, I know, but that brilliance. You know what I mean?
See what I did there?
Yeah, that was good.
All right. The literal spark. But I think she had that brilliance, and the price of it was her mental illness, unfortunately. And it's just fun to watch, not fun, but it's interesting to watch them play with that. What You know what I mean? If you yes. give up one, do you also have to then lose the other? If you give up the mental illness, are you losing that brilliance?
Well, she didn't so far. I mean, when she was on the clozapine, she was largely
Is she on clozapine?
That's what she was on.
Yeah, okay.
So when she was on that, she was doing well. At least she'd managed to hold up fairly well for
until she got blowed up.
Yeah, except for that. Hey, I gotta say, if something exploded behind me, I would probably be kind of crazy, too.
No, if I got blown up, I'd be a mess, too. But, yeah, sure. And then she went off her meds. But I thought that she was now on... Was she still on clozapine?
I don't think they said.
No, they haven't discussed what she's on. She's on a bunch, it looks like.
Yeah, she had a handful of stuff.
She had a cocktail.
Some of them were triangular. I have never seen a triangular pill in my life. I don't know. Have I been missing something in the drug world?
Yes. I gotta make a phone call.
Yeah, all right. Let me know. Let me know about the triangular pills, because I was like, what the hell are those?
What's the traditional, the really, really strong medication that they use?
She's on lithium.
She's on lithium. That's what they discussed.
And I think that's the difference, because doesn't lithium have like a far more severe side effects? Doesn't that really deplete doesn't
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That sort of bring somebody down. And
it can, there are plenty of even worse ones that have
And it doesn't have to, depending on the dosage. Yeah. But, I mean, hey, there's an album named after
And, you know, clearly what they were setting up is that they're still figuring out the dosage.
Right.
So you know, because that's a whole process in and of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe she just needs the thrill of the chase, you guys.
And we will get into that. But the other thing that's setting, but the other thing that's setting the stage for this whole season was what we first learned is that Israel has bombed 5 sites in Iran.
Mm-hmm. Nuclear sites.
Nuclear sites, exactly. So that right there gives you the framework from which they're going to deal with.
Do you guys feel like, and maybe this is just my perception, but I feel like they are giving a larger global perspective this season so far. They're really getting into the actual issues that are going on in the world using that as the backdrop.
Yeah. Well, that's something interesting, because we'll have to see how well they balance where they are politically, because you always have that trouble with something like 24, where you never really wanted to say what side you were on, because then you piss off half your audience, and so it'll be interesting to see how they sort of dance that
line. I thought they did an excellent job last season of giving a dual perspective on this. Nobody's ever gonna want Brody to explode that vest ever. Right. I mean, because that's just never an okay thing.
Right.
However, I thought they did a good job of sort of illustrating how he got there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And using Issa in particular as an illustration of why people get really angry and sort of where some of these larger issues come from. And it's interesting now with Iran and Israel, and I know we're not there yet, but when the kids were having the debate, that felt like that's a debate that happens in America with adults, you know what I mean? People taking those different stances. I thought that was kind of amazing.
Yeah, I really liked that. And I liked the moment where, and I know we'll get to this, where Dana slipped.
Yeah.
And might have mentioned a little secret about her dad.
Yeah, she's having a little trouble adjusting, it seems.
Poor dear. Whole, you know. And apparently she's hooking up with her boyfriend, because that was
mentioned. Yeah, that was. Right. So, they dropped that in.
Yeah. And mom and dad know about it. All right.
One thumb up, one thumb down.
All right, maybe that.
All right.
Hey, last season she fell through a plate glass window, drunk.
Right.
Yes.
This season she's hooking up, you know.
Well, she's doing 16. Better. She's 16. She's troubled.
Yay that.
She's at least at the Quaker meeting, which means she's at school.
Yeah. But the one thing that hasn't changed, which is nice, is she has such great attitude about everything.
Do you know what, though? This is the interesting thing about Dana, is that there are so many teenage characters on television that just annoy you. And I think that people, like you brought up 24, and people had a lot of different feelings about the teenage, you know, his
they
daughter.
They weren't nice feelings.
They weren't always nice feelings. But I think in general, people really like the Dana character, and they love the relationship between, I love the relationship between Dana and Brody.
Well, because it feels real. It doesn't feel like she's just bratty teenager and he's just harsh dad. Like they have moments where they fight, and they have moments when they're close. And they're also not that fake close relationship. You're like, dad's my pal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's always complicated.
It's sort of like the commercial that's on now where the little kids are actually washing out the inside of a car with a hose, and dad's like, "Oh, you missed a spot." Like, no.
No, that's not how it
works. That's not what would happen.
Well, they did. I mean, they did a brilliant job last season of setting that up so that you really believe that Dana was the one person that could pull him back from the breach. Because on one side, he had Issa pulling him toward to pull the trigger. And then he had Dana pulling him back. Right. I thought that was gorgeous, the way they developed that.
And they're continuing it because we've seen the last scene here is that the closer those two get, the harder it's going to be for him to do what they want him to do.
I know. And now she has some serious dirt on Dad.
Yes.
Right. So Dad can't really mess with her.
Mm-hmm. He's like pulling them in.
But, you know, I have to say, if it wasn't for those moments with his dad, I would just want to shoot this girl.
Would you?
Oh, God, yeah. That bratty little, yeah.
Oh, I
can't stand her.
Because here's the thing with Jessica, I can understand why she's resisting her mom, because everything she's saying is really true. She's like, "Mom, oh, yeah, actually, they were idiots." And frankly, they were, you know? And the truth is, her mom has this attachment now, where she didn't last season, but she now has this attachment to being potentially Mrs. Vice President, and Dana gets that her ambition is driving her.
Right.
It annoys her.
And if she wasn't really hot, she'd be really annoying. I just have to say.
Okay.
That's now are talking about Dana?
Marina Baccarin.
Marina Baccarin.
Marina Baccarin is like, I mean, Inara.
Inara Sarah.
She's great, but she obviously has her own agenda going on.
Yeah.
And Dana is like, "No, you're annoying me, Mom. That's not real. There's nothing grounded in your motivation and your agenda." So I think I like how they're showing the kids that a kid is very, very cognizant of what's going on. So that's very important.
Just like they knew she was hooking up with his best friend last season.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, there was nothing wrong with, because he was dead-ish.
Right.
Dead-ish.
he was presumed dead.
He was presumed dead. And she's going to have issues. Her dad was gone half her life. I mean, you got to give the kid some slack.
Yeah.
All right, well, before we move on, we want to thank everybody for tuning into iTunes and downloading these podcasts. We appreciate you doing that, and especially for all those who are telling a friend. Because of you, we have over 1 million downloads a day now. We're in over 75 countries. I don't even know how many it is at this point, if anybody knows. But
85.
Thank you.
I don't know. 100 million.
That's not a number she just pulled out of thin air. No, she really knows. She's done the research. But thank you for all your rating and your commenting. Please keep that going. That keeps the lights on here. And we just wanted to let you know we appreciate it. So thanks very much for that.
Thanks,
now,
guys.
We have to talk about the new ladies in this show.
This is what Jenna called.
Thaddeus says.
New
what?
Chicks.
Oh,
that was
sorry.
Me.
No, that was a bigger pardon. That
new
was
chicks.
A bigger
pardon. Less offensive if I say it.
Don't blame Thaddeus.
I just said Jessica was hot.
I was giving
that's
him credit.
Yeah, and she is. So you're allowed to say that.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know who to pick. Flip a coin. I don't care.
Thaddeus hotter?
Sandwich right now.
For which one? Jessica and who else?
Jessica and Roya Hamad.
Mm-hmm. There's no deciding.
I'm hyperventilating just thinking about both of them together at the same time. Covert operations. And then there's role playing going on, too. I mean, this is a perfect scenario for me. But anyway, let's go.
Are you all right? Do you need some water?
I'm okay. Let me take a sip.
I think maybe you should.
So this is the kind of in-depth reporting we like to have.
That we like to do here at AfterBuzz. Okay, so Fatima Ali, you guys, how brilliant was this? Because I spent a couple, this is kind of sad, but I spent some time this summer thinking about, like, how are you going to have Carrie out of the picture? How are you going to get Carrie back into the picture? And it's obviously so simple. There's an asset that will only talk to her.
Right.
And that's how she's back into a position of power again. And it makes sense. I think it really works in the writing why this woman, she spent this time slowly developing this relationship with, I mean, can you imagine? This is the wife of a commander in Hezbollah.
Yeah.
That's a massively powerful asset.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, speaking of that, the fact that they were meeting in a, I mean, it wasn't like the middle of a square, but it was well lit, and she's
it was
a woman
kind of a
in
courtyard, but
right
open.
In this area of the world by herself, regardless of who she is, with a man from the West. Perhaps we pick a different spot, maybe inside a building.
Well, that may be why she didn't want to talk to him, or she walked away as soon as he started walking.
But she set it up.
Well, she didn't.
She didn't know.
She requested it. She requested it. But, like, would you agree to that if you were a woman there at that time? I don't know. I wouldn't.
I think, by the way, sorry, somebody, I was trying to read something in the window and I think it looked like I was ignoring it, which I wasn't.
No.
Because you're saying brilliant things.
Always.
As always. I think, but she put in the request assuming that Carrie was going to show up.
Right.
And I think she had no idea. She would be just as shocked as anybody that it was Saul. However, to your point, that is a very strange meeting.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, very, very, yeah, that would raise some eyebrows.
Yeah. On either side, and you would think Saul would know better than that.
And based on the amount of time that's passed, you got to think she's probably going to vet out the situation and try to figure out, okay, who can I trust? Is the person that recruited me still around? Where is Carrie? Who's, you know, who am I going to speak to in this situation? It's been some time since she's had any communication mm-hmm. or done anything. So now she has information or intel and she wants to divulge this. So she has to figure out, okay, who is this? And I mean, who knows? It could have been the guy. Saul could have showed up and she could have been like, oh, I don't trust this guy. Or, it could have been another agent and they could have spoken to her and she might have trusted them based on Saul. She might have seen him and just went like, no, where's Carrie? You know, but at the same time, it was the perfect way to hook Carrie back into the situation. So, like you said, you kind of expected it had to come through Saul because it has to come through somebody she trusted, of course, since she's at home and making vegetables and all that. You said.
And she's not. In fact, she didn't even take what's his name's phone calls until it was only until Saul called that she took the call.
Yeah, and of course, that's close call. Esther's just sitting outside her house in a van.
Yeah,
because that's not creepy at all.
Well, you knew it was. You knew it was somebody in that van.
Yeah. Of course,
but we're assuming that the information that she has is related to whatever Abu Nazir is cooking up. Are we not?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, that is the assumption.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a broad assumption. I mean, it's a television show, so they kind of have to do it this way. Uh-huh. But I'm like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of terrorist organizations running separately, uh-huh. you know, that are plotting many different things at many different times. I mean, like, it's sort of a lot to assume that they're having a global summit. You know, like there's a G8 of terrorists that goes on.
And also, they got
what are you planning?
The UN of terrorism.
They had a nice little teleconference, and they said, you know, and who knows? Maybe she's just got a piece of the puzzle that's going to lead them to the larger puzzle. So we don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm just having visions of like a League of Supervillains sitting around a table with capes. And,
of course.
Yes. Of course they do.
Petting cats.
Oh. Sorry. I'm gesturing that I'm petting a cat. I'm going to stop that now. If you're listening and not watching.
So, but that takes us to Roya. So
Roy Hamad.
That's you. That's all you.
Your new girlfriend.
Please, take it from here.
The other hot one. And you know what I liked about her? The other hot chick.
What did you like about her?
I mean, besides the obvious, is that she had a British accent. And that kind of would make you think that, okay, what is the angle? You think it kind of throws you off. It's like kind of a misdirection.
Well, I mean, in certain parts of the world, like the English is British.
It's still like psychological. She's not over here with the scarf around her head and speaking.
She's not blending in.
She feels Westernized.
Exactly. Yeah. So that makes her a perfect mole, so to speak, based on the role that she's playing.
A reporter.
Sure.
Exactly.
And I think that they're using that to illustrate, Jenna, to your point, that in many parts of the world, when they teach English, it's with a proper British accent because we're the ones that are speaking really incorrectly. You know,
I don't know if I agree with that, Roth.
Wait a minute.
Unfortunately
terrorist
for all of us.
Right there.
Terrorist.
Homeland Security.
That is so unpatriotic.
So un-American of me. It's true.
We're from New York.
Plus, the British get away with everything. I watched Argo this week and I realized that the British get away with everything.
They have such adorable accents.
But I think you're right that she is very westernized.
Yeah,
and I think that...
Most definitely. I thought that maybe Damian Lewis might slip up because, you know, he's a Brit. So doing that scene...
I know, right?
And she's speaking in his homeland accent that he might start speaking as a Brit. I wish I could see behind the scenes footage, like the dailies of that.
Yeah, I kind
of
want to watch that too.
Probably slipped
maybe
up a few
he was
times
helping
and joked around. It probably was pretty funny.
Totally.
But her that role is like really great. And I love the way that she's going about trying to seduce David Estes, even though he's not really like going for it. He's kind of going for it.
Well, here's the thing. She's also a mole and very westernized in the fact that she's aggressive enough to ask him out.
Right.
So that takes her even further away from that world.
I think that would make him more suspicious. Remember, this guy gets up and looks at himself in the mirror every morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't.
He's like, she's hitting on me. She's hitting on me. There's definitely an angle.
I think that David Estes is 100% ego in every single, and his ego has blocked him from seeing so many things over and over again last season.
That's true.
His ego blocked him from seeing Carrie's brilliance. He only sees what he wants to see and what's convenient for him to see.
Right.
So you know he wants to see that she likes him.
That's true.
Yes.
I mean, I would want to see that she liked me.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if I was David Estes.
Yeah.
I'm going for this.
He is not going to turn that down.
No, he's not. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that and how she goes about playing him, if she's savvy enough to get anything out of him. But at the same time, she was just trying to prolong and give some time for Brody so he can get the codes out of the safe and do what he has to do.
I think she's going to stay in the game for quite a while.
Yeah.
She's talking to Brody and she's talking to Estes.
Yeah.
So she is on the ground, on the front line. So, and who knows which side she's playing?
Well, I'm pretty sure she's... I think she's on Nazir's side.
But you never know.
No,
it's
she may not be on Nazir's side, but I think she is playing the long game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
She's like,
it's convenient for me to delay him right now and have this, you know, keep him talking to me about this date on Saturday night. But once I get him on this date, how many other things can I do? You know, what can I get out of him? How can I establish this rapport and this relationship? She's playing the long game just like Carrie played the long game with her asset.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. That's exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see how that happens.
I know.
I'm sure you hope it happens a little bit naked.
I think it'll happen a little bit naked.
And it's showtime.
Hopefully
there's gonna be
a little episode two instead of episode three.
You want the second date, huh?
Exactly.
All right. I totally get it. All right. So I knew what I was going to talk about. Oh, you know what I'm going to talk about?
What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about the fall schedule for AfterBuzz TV.
Thank you, because I don't know it.
I don't know it by heart, but if you love TV, and if you're here, we know that you do, you need to go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our fall schedule, including the Doctor Who show, even though it's on hiatus. Roth and I do that.
But not limited to.
A little plug here, because we're going to be doing classic episodes in between the fall finale and the Christmas special.
Awesome.
There's so many cool shows. We're doing 50 shows now?
At least right now.
One million shows.
But I was going back to the Doctor Who show, because how many years of shows do you have to pick from?
Well, no,
we're picking episodes.
Yeah, people are voting on them, which classic episodes we're going to look at.
That's
so
cool.
Hey, we want to keep people interested.
Of course.
You know, Doctor Who fans rock. And something we do there, which I would love, guys, if you want to do here, is if you tweet us during the show. So live tweet is always fun. I'm at Jenna Bush, B-U-S-C-H, like the beer, not the president.
I'm J-R-O-C-H-C, J-R-O-T-H-C.
I'm Thaddeus Massey, but I'm at Club Thaddeus, C-L-U-B-T-H-A-D-D-E-U-S, and that's Vegas on Tuesday nights. Yes! CBS.
And guess who is not?
I'm at a loss to come up with a Twitter
on Twitter.
Handle, so...
We're going to vote for one. But guys, live tweet us if you come up with anything.
I'm
going to
make a Twitter for John. He's not going to know it's him.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're going to take his quotes and just put it on this tweet.
We're totally going to do it.
So he has a presence online.
Do we have anything else to say about the fall schedule?
Guys, also make sure you subscribe to AfterBuzz TV on iTunes, on YouTube. Make sure you rate us well, please, because we love you. And leave comments, because we really actually do read all of them.
Yes, absolutely. We live and die by the comments. No, it's true. We really, really love them. It's kind of sad. We read them all obsessively. And we really thank you for nice comments and nice ratings. Please.
Love you. I feel like we should make kissy noises now or something. That just seems like it should follow.
You guys gotta do that.
All right, we're done now.
Let's move on to Brody then.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of kissy, you want to see more of him, so.
Yes,
wait, I want to know about this. Okay. this is a dramatic change from wearing the vest and just barely stopping to say, I am not a terrorist. Yeah. I do not condone civilian death. Mm-hmm. This is a big change. And I really think that the push-pull between Brody, the two identities of Brody, Brody pre-Abu Nuzir, Brody post-Abu Nuzir, well, there's three. Brody, Abu Nuzir, and then him now wrestling with these two sides of himself. I mean, I think this is pretty, is he going to give over this information that he just got? Because then he is responsible.
He's responsible, but he's still going to play the rationalization game. I'm not a terrorist. In fact, I don't even think he thought of himself as a terrorist until his daughter said, you're not a terrorist, are you?
Called.
And all of a sudden, the idea that his daughter might think of him that way is the one thing that put it in his head, I'm not a terrorist.
Right. Yeah, because
he did
not
want to be that in her eyes.
Yeah, I mean, because you have to weigh, well, I've got a son and a daughter who are alive, and then I have Issa, who isn't alive anymore, and I can do things in his name, but when one of my own children calls me out... Mm-hmm. What do I choose?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And also, he may be just like Jess, a little enamored of the power. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see it on his face.
Oh, yeah.
There is whatever other things he has going on, however devoted he is to his religion and to what he believes, he's still, there's some part of him that's like, oh my God, president.
Well, I mean, I think also, too,
maybe not that squeaky.
Probably not that squeaky. No. But if you're in a cult,
I think it is just that squeaky.
Maybe just that squeaky. We don't know.
Yeah. Right. In those
we
private
don't
moments,
know.
I haven't.
There are many levels of squeak that it could have gone to. We don't know.
That's true.
But I think if you're like in a cult, you know, I've never been in a cult, so I don't know. But John has. And I think that if you're in a cult, you're in that environment and you're inundated in it and it's your everyday world and you're swimming in an ocean of crazy. Mm-hmm. And that seems normal because you're like the fish in the fishbowl.
Yeah, you can't see the forest or the trees. You're in the middle
of
it, so you can't see it.
Now you're out of it. And not only are you in your real life again, in the comfort of your real life again with your actual family, but you're a congressman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suddenly what you signed on for is going to look less and less attractive to you.
Yeah. And you also see the hope that, you know, I could change things from inside and not have to go the killing route.
But the irony, of course, is that
the power that seduction that Jenna was talking about.
But of course, the total irony is that he's getting more and more enmeshed in this platform that is the exact opposite of what Abu Nuzir would want. We're taking a hard line on Iran. Mm-hmm. They're using his name to take a hard line on Iran.
Yeah.
Do you think this is going to make him happy? No, Abu Nuzir is not going to be on board with his name being used to take. How in the world is that using your power to change policy? Mm-hmm. It's changing policy in the exact opposite direction of where he wants it to go.
Yeah, well, there's a thing about being a totally like influential in the moment or then using it long term.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more power he can, you know, accumulate. Yeah. The better he is to influence later.
Yeah, and then from Abu Nazir's point of view, do you want your asset to squirm away slowly until he's sucked in to the other side?
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, if you have an asset, just like the CIA would do on the other side.
No, they wouldn't.
Maybe.
That seems wrong.
CIA would never do anything
Jenna.
Wrong. I've seen 24 and other shows
oh,
in which
goodness.
It implies something different. But, I mean, you would want to have them do something right now, and so you send in Hot Chick.
Exactly.
You know.
I think he hasn't really realized that I think he's just trying to hang on right now. It just seems as if when Roya came to the office and told him, like, look, this is what I need you to do, it's like he lost himself in, like, in this new world, obviously. The old world is behind him. And just like you said, Ice is dead, and he has his kids and his family.
Yeah.
At the same time, I just really feel like he's trying to hang on. And he's in over his head.
Yeah.
He feels he's really in over his head. He's, like, drowning. And, you know, it's like the Manchurian Candidate thing going on here now with the whole, like, he might be running for office, the VP ticket, blah, blah, blah. So he just doesn't want anything to happen to his family. He hasn't realized his power. The things that he's saying, like, well, I can do something along with it, those are things he's just trying to do to buy time and buy a situation, as opposed to, like, look, this is what I'm doing. Because he hasn't, like, planned an agenda.
Right. Because there's nothing he can do yet. Really, I mean, for being in a position of power, he's pretty powerless because all he does is owe people.
Yeah.
He owes the vice president on one side, who's the exact opposite of Abu Nuzir, well, of what Abu Nuzir would want. And then he's got Abu Nuzir on this side. So he really actually has very little power. And the truth is, the more political gains he makes, the more he's going to owe people.
Yep.
And I mean, ultimately, what is it? Is it the Manchurian Candidate? Like, get into the presidency and then what? Press a red button? Actually, there's like seven other people have to sign off on that.
Right.
You know? So that's not a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, what can he actually do is the question, and except these small things.
Well, also, Abu Nazir has dirt on him.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's video that's been recorded. Who knows what's been recorded there? So he doesn't have a lot of choice. I mean, they may be saying, well, ISIS's birthday is Monday and do it in his name and all of that. But in the end, do it because we have dirt on you.
Yeah. Well, what he's going to have to do now, he's going to have to convince Abu Nazir that he will be more influential in the position, the potential position and leverage that he'll have, instead of having the front, instead of being on the front line, so to speak, like with him, you know, with the targets and whatnot. So that is going to be his next. He's going to say, okay, I have to convince them that they have to let me have a more political role and get away from being a soldier, so to speak, and being more of an administrator.
Yeah. And can he ever get out? If that's something, that's something to think about. Great. Because if he does accomplish something for Abu Nazir, he'll never be able to explain his way out of it.
They'll say thank you very much and they'll go away, right?
Right, of course. Yeah. And but if he doesn't do anything, then he's found out. So he really is stuck now.
Except that people are counterintelligence and spies for many years before they're caught. So I mean
he really could.
I mean, I don't think it's like he does this one thing and then he's done forever. I mean, they're not going to be able to trace that information necessarily directly back to Brody, even if they do use that information. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he could potentially be able to be a spy for Abu Nazir for years and years and years. The real question is, what does he want to do? And then how is he going to handle that? Because I think what I love about these two characters, these are like two of the most complex characters on television. And what I really like about Brody is that he's legitimately has a sense of this religion as holy. He has a real connection to it. He legitimately has this love for Issa. He legitimately thinks that a lot of the things that Abu Nazir wants are the right things to happen. At the same time, he has this entire Western background that's at odds with that. And he doesn't probably believe in their methods any longer because he's no longer being brainwashed.
Well, and you, speaking to it, he's in effect as bipolar as Carrie is.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just totally polarized on that.
Well, I mean, even last season when they had that that day and a half together where they...
That's why they found each other.
Yeah. And I mean, he couldn't talk to his wife. He couldn't talk to anybody unless it was somebody who understood, who'd been there, who'd been through something like that.
Yeah.
And then to find out that one person that he thought he could connect with was totally screwing him over.
I think that's an amazing point, though. That's an amazing point that he's as polarized.
Indeed.
So. All right, but before we go to, there's one thing I want to talk about, because I love the way that, you know, I'm sorry, I forgot who was saying it, but he's back in his comfortability of his home. He's, you know, getting comfortable with doing the whole congressman bit. He's sitting back in his office. This woman, oh, sure, bring her on in. Has no idea that this woman could be anyway in some way related to Abu Nazir or an informant or whatever it was. I just liked that he was so comfortable. It's like so shocking that they could get to him in his own office.
Easily.
Crap.
And then also the fact that she's like, yeah, are you taping this? No. Okay, well, let me talk about Abu Nazir.
Exactly. Right.
Well, you don't want to maybe check that first. Yeah. I don't know.
I think that was a point.
Yeah.
We can get to you in your office. We can get to you anywhere.
And you won't know who.
And you won't know who. Because that's the truth.
Because we're everywhere.
Tom Walker.
Yeah, he killed. Yeah. Well, just the way he killed Tom Walker, he can be killed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Abu Nazir can take him out anytime he wants.
Right. Also, he may not be recording things in his office, but other people might.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Just pointing that out.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think we should mention something about Jess, though.
Yes.
We should talk a little bit more about her because she obviously had understandable issues when Brody came back. She was with someone else. Understandably so. And he still came back to her, but then he gave her this new thing. And we just saw, and I know we'll get to this with predictions, but there's a scene where he kisses her and her eyes are open and it creeped me the hell out. But she's obviously got a plan of her own. So I think she's sort of changing here from victim to... Right. Mm-hmm. Aggressor.
I don't think that Jess was ever really a victim. I think that, I mean, listen,
well,
he came back.
Well, it's in a sad place.
He's a victim of the circumstance.
He came back. That's what I mean. Yeah.
What do I do? I'm stuck in the middle of this. But
he came back very damaged.
Oh, yeah.
He came back and she did.
And still is.
She did everything that she could do to sort of help usher him along and usher him through. And now he's presented her with a really fancy carrot, you know, at the end of that stick.
Yeah.
Like a very, that kind of status. And I think I think that it's both fair and unfair. Her response was, I married a U.S. Marine. Mm-hmm. You cannot be this.
Right.
You know you can't be this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think for her, from her point of view, I think where Jess is very selfish mm-hmm. is that she doesn't, every time she talks about what he's been through, she adds what we've been through. And every single time she does it, I'm like, you are so selfish.
Right.
You were in a house having some sex with your kids. He was in a hole in the ground.
That sentence was bad.
Yeah, it was.
Not having sex with the kids.
I'm saying you had your family.
That's a very special episode of Homeland.
Okay, fine, y'all.
Okay, we're back.
We're back. Not having some lyrics.
Yeah.
But she had her family. Mm-hmm. She had a boyfriend. Yeah. She had a house. She had some groceries. He was in a hole in the ground, like, for 8 years.
Being
peed on. And it's being beat with a stick. And it's what we went through. No, sweetheart.
Yeah.
It's true. But I think what's happening is that she feels like because he's been through so much more, what she's been through is trivial. And it is to some degree. But imagine your husband all of a sudden comes home and you have to change everything like that.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's not. I'm not saying it's an easy situation.
I'm just saying that's what her motivation is. But I agree with you.
But every time she says it, like, as if to add, it wasn't just you, honey. And it's like, it wasn't, but it really was a lot.
Yeah.
Also,
let's weigh that.
Yeah, no, it was a lot worse for him. But I think also she stands for prejudice against Muslims. Because look what she does as soon as she finds out. It's not just, you can't do this. Do you understand what position we're in right now? But it's, let me take your Quran and throw it on the ground and dig through your stuff in the garage and try to find, you know, like it's because every religion, and I'm not getting into any discussion about anybody's religion, but
no, let's do it.
Yes.
Every religion has something, ritualistic,
right?
Something that's sacred to them.
Right.
And the first way to take it down is to take that, whatever that sacred thing is, and desecrate it, whether it's an idea or an object or a ritual or whatever.
Right.
And so I think that she does stand for a lot of the panic and the fear reaction that people have to Muslims. So,
which we saw in the meeting as well.
Yeah,
she has that really polarized vision of it, too, where the same way the kids did. They all want this. As if you can speak for millions of people in this, like, just sweeping statement. And she goes, these are the people that would take your daughter into a football field and stone her death. And it's like, you cannot lay that sort of charge on every single Muslim on the planet.
Including him, who would not take his daughter
and stone her. I mean, and I think that that's kind of brilliant on the show's part. And it also illustrates why Brody and Jess can never really be together and again. They can never really be in a marriage again because she's completely unwilling to see him for the human being he is right now. She is so focused on the human being he was that she is almost blind to the human being he is right now. Like, that's not a marriage.
Well, yeah, I think she's absolutely blind because she wants the thing.
Yeah.
She wants the man, the VP. Ooh.
The fancy carriage.
Oh, yeah, she wants the whole thing.
She feels like it's owed to her.
I want the...
She feels like
it's owed to her. I feel like, you know, when she said, you know,
after
I married a U.S.
Marine.
Exactly. All we've been through. It's like the groupie who's married to the football player and then he gets hurt. He's been a superstar forever. It's like, no, you are a quarterback. I think they did that in Any Given Sunday.
Yeah.
It feels like Dennis Quaid's wife was like, you are a quarterback. It's like, I married a quarterback. You can't be hurt kind of thing. So she is really putting him like, okay, she's really separating them. There's really a huge disconnect. You thought there was a disconnect before.
Yeah.
Now they're living in the same house. At least he was like halfway across the world in a ditch somewhere. So there was a real disconnect.
Yeah.
Now the disconnect is they're going to be sleeping in the same bed and she has to put some kind of agenda together about how she's going to approach this thing, and he has to figure out how he's going to contain the situation.
Right. And if you remember from last season when he was first talking about running for office, you know, the idea of what the family's been through.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, now it's like, oh, yeah, the family's been through a lot, but you know what would be really, really cool is the fancy carrot.
Yeah. And to go through more of it.
The
family won't go through too much if he's a VP
and
candidate.
And she mentioned it. She specifically said that. The family, we've been through a lot, but...
But also, it's very human nature. If anybody goes through something like that, you want it to mean something, or do you want it to have some sort of, I had to go through that in order to get this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure that's what she's thinking.
I just think she's selfish. I mean, I really do. I mean, I think she, you know, as a character, she is probably and I think if anybody other than Marina Baccarin was playing this character, we would really hate her. because not anybody, but many actresses, because Marina Baccarin is so inherently likable, you know, that you kind of, you forgive Jess of a lot of things. But when I really sit there and think about what she says, how she ignores who her daughter is, how she ignores who Brody is, how she says, well, what us we've been through, how she refuses to see outside of her own perspective and her own goals, it's very frustrating. I mean, I think she did a better job last season of trying to woman up and be there for her husband and be a good wife for him after he'd been all that. Through all that, but this season, I know it's just the first episode, but I was like, man.
Yeah,
I think it's great. It's great drama, great conflict.
It's a great show.
And it drives the daughter and the father together.
It's good stuff. It's extremely well written. I don't mean to say that that's not well written. That's incredibly well written.
And well acted.
Yeah. But as a character,
definitely.
I'm like,
yeah, I love her.
How are you this selfish?
Well, I got to cut her a little bit of slack. I mean, husband's gone, presumed to be dead. She has to keep the family together. She's lost her husband. She married this Marine. What's her backstory? I mean, did she even graduate from high school?
She worked to go to junior college.
Mm-hmm. Okay, she worked. Okay, so now you're seeing somewhat of her backstory and how maybe unqualified she is to maintain the situation under which the cards were dealt to her.
Yeah, well, she doesn't see things clearly. I mean, just as a small thing last season, like, oh, you've done so much for us that I wanted to do something for you. Cut my hair.
Right.
That's the thing?
Right.
That's the thing? Okay, how about group therapy? How about we sit and talk about your feelings? Well, I cut my hair for
you.
Well,
she said that he should go to therapy.
That's true.
But again, like, I mean, that's selfish.
She knelt in front of him and let him do his thing.
Yeah, that scene is stuck in my head forever and ever.
How unselfish is that, ladies? Okay, Come on.
She didn't look pleased.
She did not look happy,
So she had to look happy doing that?
No, she did not. No. What I'm saying is, like, in that moment, she was taking one for the team.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I don't think she's as selfish. I think you're going to give her a little bit more credit.
Well, look at this. We saw in the upcoming whatever that when they were kissing. Okay, so right when that whole desecration of the Quran went down, I'm like, he's not hitting it right.
But what I think is...
make her accept whatever. Yeah. I'm telling you, there has to be some connection between the two of them. And there's no connection in the bedroom.
No, because we've never seen it again.
As soon as he came home, he's sleeping with Carrie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they haven't had that reconnection of their marriage.
But I think it points to a larger point. Not that she's selfish so much as I think she's the one that's going to know he's different. Even though everybody else thinks he's this hero, he's different.
She doesn't care.
I think she does care. I think she just doesn't know how to articulate it. She doesn't know what it is. She can't put her finger on it, but she knows something's different.
Yeah, and I think to your point, I mean, like I said, I think that last season she did a better job of trying to be the wife and be a good wife to him, even though he wasn't able to have sex with her, which would be really frustrating. And then he was able to have sex with this other woman, which would be unforgivable for most people. You know, I'm just saying, like, I saw sprinkles of this woman who I was like, that's a really weird perspective. And then I feel like in this episode, it just got highlighted where I was like, what planet are you on? You're not listening to your kid. You're not listening to your husband. You're not listening to anyone. You're just so focused on this goal at this point that you're completely myopic.
Yeah.
Well,
I was just going to say, like, and she does ignore the daughter quite a bit because, I mean, she really, largely, they didn't do anything about the drinking last season. Right. I mean, there's grounding, but it's not. And they're not really doing anything about the sex with boyfriend. Now, if I were the kid, I'd be like, woohoo! But, you know, seriously, I would. Mom's watching. I shouldn't say things like that. I'm not kidding. Hi, Mom.
That's the woohoo meter.
Right. But, I mean, as a parent, like, that would be something you'd maybe address.
Woohoo sex.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, Mom.
Cut to Teen Mom.
All right. Well, we already talked about Dana. Is there any more about Dana? Because we do have to get to Carrie. We only have a few minutes left.
About
so we
got
to talk Carrie. So let's get into
best her. Kick
Carrie
ever.
The Canadian.
Best kick ever.
Carrie, I know.
Carrie the Canadian. It's really funny because I did see Argo, and of course, they all pretend that they're Canadian in that, too.
I see. Right.
It's the best disguise ever.
One of the things I thought was great in the beginning, you know, she's getting the vegetables, and, you know, and then dad and sister are talking, turn that off. And dad says, and she knows. Carrie already knows. You can turn it back on. So she's okay. She's not all gone.
Yeah, it's up on her computer.
Yeah, right. And she was aware enough to know they were talking about it, and they had turned it off and the whole thing. It's like, okay, she's still sharp.
Well, it was a little bittersweet, I thought, to see her teaching in that class, because it was like, okay, this is a strong human being that's like reconciled herself to, okay, this is my life now, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to give it my all, and I'm going to be happy in it. I teach English on Tuesday, and I make vegetable lasagna on Thursday.
It's a much smaller world.
You know, it's a much smaller world for her.
Yep.
But, and she's like, I'm happy now, I'm doing well, and she's convincing herself.
Yeah.
And then when you see that smile
at the end,
you go, you weren't happy.
So fast, the quick thinking with the headscarf and the kicking and the, oh, my husband's down. Phew.
I can lose him.
Yep.
Right. Kick the gun under the
Oh, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was just, and, you know, for viewers, like somebody like me who just marathoned the entire thing yesterday, I mean, again, I actually did watch it. Okay. I marathoned it many months ago and just did it again for this. But to see that really strong person crack and then come back all within the span of 24 hours.
Yeah. Rise like the phoenix.
Yeah. She was great. I love that how they had all the little cracks in the memory. She couldn't get her briefing right. I mean, that was a terrific. And I'm hoping they'll keep those playing out because she can't be that sharp. I want her to struggle.
Yeah.
Well, remember, she can still at some point remember who Issa is.
She will.
Mm-hmm. You know,
we hope.
And
the connection. We're talking about just even previews, and I guess we can do predictions if you guys want.
We'll get to it in a second.
Yeah, okay. But there's just a thing about what we see her doing in the previews. I'll wait till predictions.
Okay.
She didn't even get the safe house address right. You didn't even think that. I didn't even know she was going to pull herself out of that situation.
I didn't
because
either.
Because Masal was like, you're going to go to 1222. Yeah. She's like, what is 1218?
Yeah.
She's like, no, 1220. Oh my gosh. She's not going to make it through this situation.
I think it actually was 1218.
It was 2218. Yeah,
she said 12.
She said 2212.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because.
See, I'm not an agent.
But if you were, would you tell us?
Yeah. No.
Uh-huh. Okay, then. See, that was a good cover. Just saying. But I think that, I mean, they did mention short-term memory is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and who knows how long, do we know if she had continual shock treatments or if it was just the one?
It seems like it was going to be over a period of time.
Yeah.
And that the memory may or may not come back.
Yeah, that's what usually happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But I think that they executed it so incredibly well to keep us wondering, is Carrie back? Or is this like even more insane, Carrie?
Yeah, and you knew they were going to have somebody try to pull her back in, and you knew she'd resist, and of course she'd go reluctantly. But which I that's going to happen, but I don't care. It was done very well and adroitly, and I was just happy to see it. But I thought one of the things that was great is that Dad said let her go.
Yeah,
that was because he of course has kind of a. Oh, commonality with her, shall we say?
With the mental illness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but also, that seems like a really genuine, he knows that this is best for his daughter. This is who his daughter is. Let her go.
That's
she
his
has
son.
To do it.
And he doesn't he doesn't want her to lose herself.
Right.
He doesn't want to lose that brilliance.
Exactly. At times, it's the only thing that keeps her going.
We're just giggling over here in the corner. We're fine.
You keep giggling.
What are you giggling about?
That's the son he never had.
That's the son he never had.
Yeah, she has a dangerous job. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important. They come in, they recruit her back into the situation. Mm-hmm. They need her. They need her. You know? And then Esty's cocky butt has a nerve to say, look, we're not going to bring a new bag, just make it clear. We're not bringing you back.
Esty's got the bad news.
Yeah, do something for us.
Oh my gosh, this guy.
He's a bad guy, but you need a guy like that running things. You need
a
guy.
Don't.
Yeah, you need somebody
he's
like
a jerk.
That.
The problem with
Of course,
Esty's,
he's a jerk.
No. The problem with Esty's is not that he's a jerk. Some of the people that you're right, sometimes you need a jerk. I'll tell you what, when I was scuba diving and it was an a-hole who was running the business and he was yelling at me about my respirator, good, you saved my life. The problem with Estes is not that he is a jerk. The problem with Estes is not that you don't want to know about the men on the wall. That's not the problem with Estes. Anybody get that?
Yes.
Yeah,
good
men.
The problem with Estes is that Estes is all about Estes. And that actually makes him bad at his job. Because who was right about Brody?
It's true.
Of course.
Who was right about Brody?
I'm not debating that. I don't think
Roth is right about
that's right. But I just disagree that he's only all about himself.
He's
blindly ambitious, but I think that he's not only about himself. It's not like he can't do his job.
He can do his job.
But that is his fatal flaw. But every one of these characters has a fatal flaw.
Yeah. Every one of these characters has a fatal flaw, but some fatal flaws in this particular situation have turned out to be more dangerous than the others. And the irony is that her fatal flaw is less dangerous to all of us than his.
Exactly. Well, it'll be interesting to see if he cracks.
What's that?
Well, it's
if
a TV show.
If he cracks a little bit, if we start to see a better side of him, because, I mean, I think if we look at just that moment, like last season where he was doing the lie detector test and he was like, yeah, I cheated on my wife and that sucked. Like, there was just a moment of regret about what he did. So it'll be interesting to see if that comes up.
Roy is going to make him crack.
Woo!
Yeah. Or he's going to make her crack.
let's not talk about cracks.
Roy is going to crack something.
It's not something besides cracks. So, was there anything left of Carrie that we wanted?
Should we move into the predictive?
Let's move on to predictions. So,
love this music.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, I have one. I think Jess is going to have an affair.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And with some high level government person.
Maybe the vice president.
This is a woman's intuition thing, or?
No.
She's not getting any. That's not intuition.
Yeah, well, there's that. But also, there's
just asking.
You're starting to see this really dark, ambitious side of her come out. Uh-huh. And if Brody doesn't go along the way she's going, I see her
finding it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. So you don't think it's for comfort?
Oh, could be too, but I just, this is after the first episode. I'm not like, this will happen. It's just something
it's
stirring
amusing.
In there.
It's something, okay.
So Howard Gordon and Alex Ganza, who are the show creators, obviously, this is the thing, Gordon is that Ganza. They said, say it again.
I just said Gordon and Ganza.
Yeah. they were talking about how originally Brody really was potentially going to blow up the vest mm-hmm. in the first season at the end of it, but that what they got so attached to was that doomed romance. And I loved what you said. I just want to bring it out again because I thought that was really smart, that he is as polarized as she is. Mm-hmm. He's as bipolar as she is in a way. And so they really only can understand in many ways one another, but it's totally doomed.
Yeah.
Because they're a complete opposite ends. Yeah. So that's what I think, well, and they've said, is going to totally play out this season, is that these two have to somehow come back together.
Yes.
Sorry, guys.
How are they getting back together, Jenna?
I saw a door opening and someone showing up in a hotel room.
Yes, hello.
That's why are we asking me? Because I am the queen of hookups? I don't know. What is that?
I don't know.
Like, wait a second. Bush,
why would I
Jenna
have this
Bush.
Information?
Well, that's how we refer to you.
Cheers.
The queen of hookups. Yeah. What do you think?
I think they absolutely have to do that. How are they going to do that? I don't know. But it seems like she still buys that she was wrong. So there's
that sucks.
I know it sucks, but that's mm-hmm. the thing so there isn't going to be that distance between them in the sense that I know he's a terrorist. She doesn't have that anymore.
Also, if he finds out that Jess is cheating on him, he might be open to hooking up.
That's if Jess is cheating. Yeah. If she ends up cheating.
Right.
I think she's going to play along because they have too much right now, as far as she knows, at stake.
That's true.
Potential VP nom and all this. I mean, there's too much potentially at stake for her to veer and go anywhere else. She has no one else yet.
And they really, whatever that they shared was deeply meaningful to both of them. So it's still there.
Do you think that she's ever going to get vindicated?
Yeah, but I don't think it'll be publicly.
Privately vindicated.
Yeah, I think she'll learn at some point that, I was right all along. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's not going to get public.
Well, that would kind of be the end of him on the show, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
anyone think Saul's wife is coming back?
No.
No.
Definitely not.
Not a chance. We didn't even talk Saul. Oh,
aww,
too bad. Saul.
I think he's going to get his beard trimmed.
You'll get relegated to next week.
Oh,
well. All right. Well, that wraps up our Homeland Season 2 premiere for The Smile. On behalf of our panel here, how did I start it? The incomparable Jenna Bush, the inestimable Roth Cornett, and the inimitable Thaddeus Massey. We want to thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.